All I can do is offer reminders of what you already know but might have forgotten. Ursula Le Guin wrote, "It's wonderful to have an end to journey toward, but it's the journey that matters in the end." So we've taken a journey together through 12 gateways. But the culmination has been the practice of enlightenment. In a way, you already know the practice. I'm only going to highlight it. Having gone through what we've gone through together and understanding what we can and cannot control, how action is the key to life. These are all hints. Enlightenment is commonly known as the culmination, the apex, the goal and purpose of human life. In order to clarify this, I would like to ask you some questions to consider and then read you some quotations before we get into the practice. Someone once said, "If life is a cosmic joke, enlightenment is getting the punchline." Let me ask you this. With whom would you prefer to live? An enlightened person who acted crazy, or a crazy person who acted enlightened? What if, while continuing to experience fear, sorrow, envy, resentment, doubt, insecurity, and all the other emotions that come and go, you still behaved in an enlightened way? What if you moved with grace even though you felt like a klutz? What if you treated yourself with kindness even when you felt undeserving? Would it matter what you happened to be feeling or thinking at the moment as long as your actions reflected loving kindness and illumination? Is behaving like an enlightened being when you don't feel like one an act of falsehood or an act of self-transcendence? A few quotations you might enjoy. Henry David Thoreau wrote, "Some people go fishing all their lives without realizing it's not fish they're after." Aristotle wrote, "Whatever we learn to do, we learn by doing it. We come to be builders by building, and harp players by playing the harp. By doing just acts, we come to be just. By doing self-controlled acts, we come to be self-controlled. By doing brave acts, we become brave." You getting the picture? Alfred Lord Tennyson, the English poet, wrote of an illumination or enlightenment experience, "All individuality seemed to dissolve and fade away into endless or boundless being, and death was an almost laughable impossibility." This is the paradox of enlightenment. Hui Neng in the Diamond Sutra wrote, "When I attained absolute perfect enlightenment, I attained absolutely nothing. That is why it is called absolute perfect enlightenment." After many years, Mumon had a great awakening. When asked to describe it, he said, "It would be easier for a mute to explain his dreams." Dogen, Zen master Dogen, said, "Truth is not far away. It is nearer than near. There is no need to attain it, since not one of your steps leads away from it." Huang Po echoed his sentiments when he said that there is nothing to be attained is not idle talk, it is the truth. On December 6th, in the year 1273, St. Thomas Aquinas, perhaps the greatest Catholic philosopher, experienced an illumined vision that caused him to utter these words, "Such things have been revealed to me that all I have written seems to me so much straw." Aquinas never spoke or wrote another word and died 3 months later. What had he seen? Dogen also said, if you can't find the truth right where you are, where else do you think you will find it? Do you remember the story in Way of the Peaceful Warrior, in which a young man was searching everywhere for enlightenment? He didn't know what it was, but he thought he could recognize someone who had experienced enlightenment. And he was climbing a mountain and he saw an old man coming down the path carrying a sack of heavy stones. And the old man stopped for a moment and turned to him, and he saw in his eyes, this was the man who had experienced enlightenment. He said, please, sir, I've been searching for many years. Tell me, what is enlightenment? And the old man swung the heavy sack off his shoulders and stood up straight and smiled. And the young man said, thank you, I understand. But what's after enlightenment? And the old man swung the sack back on his shoulders and continued on down the hill. There's a saying, before enlightenment, chopping wood, carrying water. After enlightenment, chopping wood, carrying water. First, mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers. Then, mountains are no longer mountains and rivers are no longer rivers. Finally, mountains are mountains and rivers are rivers. There's a certain paradoxical element about enlightenment, this transcendent state. Some people have misunderstood, thinking I'm making light of it, bringing up some pop psychological definition of enlightenment all my own. You'll have to decide that, of course, for yourself, ultimately. I do recognize there is a state of transcendence where the world has exploded and suddenly you see the bigger picture. I've experienced it in moments. I laughed out loud. It was so obvious, but I can't possibly communicate it. And then it's lost again. Some people claim to be enlightened masters, having stable enlightenment, stable realization. I can't discuss that. They would have to discuss that with you. So maybe there is such a state. But in the meantime, I know people who are searching everywhere for enlightenment. Meanwhile, they're ignoring their kids, abandoning their families. Some people criticize me for, after they've read Way of the Peaceful Warrior, for those times I traveled, you know, away from my family, and my wife and I were divorced, we had a little girl. I've made mistakes in my life. And that's what I was doing, seeking enlightenment while I was ignoring some of my responsibilities at home. So I serve sometimes as a good example, but I also have served as a negative example of what can happen in this search for enlightenment. Well, in the meantime, while we're waiting for this state, there are some things we can do right now in everyday life. The practice of enlightenment in the moment here on earth. I'd like you to take a moment to do an exercise you've probably never done before. If you're listening to this tape and you're in a quiet place, this would be an optimum time to do it. It'll only take about 1 minute. What I'm going to ask you to do in a moment is to cover your ears so that you hear minimum sounds around you. But don't do it yet. When you cover your ears, start to listen. Not for the sounds around you, but listen for the sounds inside. You may start to notice, if you listen closely enough, you may start to notice a very high-pitched sound. Very high-pitched, quiet sound to the right or left, or maybe in the center. And it's a sound you will know when you hear it has always been there. But you never quite heard it before. It's not the same thing as the ringing that happens in people's ears. See if you can notice it here in this environment where you are right now. Okay, cover your ears and listen. Okay, that's about a minute. You may have heard it. You may have heard it right away. I do nowadays when it takes me about 2 seconds. But I know where it is. I know where to find it. Sometimes it takes a little longer. There are actually supposed to be 9 to 12 sounds, each one deeper, more subtle than the last. The sound of water, ocean waves, and so on. Different sounds. It's called laya or nad yoga, following internal sounds into deep meditation. But that's not the reason I suggested you do this exercise. I suggested doing the exercise because when you hear the sound, you go, oh yeah, it was always there. Just like enlightenment. It's always right in front of us. Well, let me read something else. A short quotation. The best way I know how to express it. There is no higher truth than awareness of the moment. There is no higher practice than embracing what is. There is no higher realization than this. You are that awareness which lives in, as, and through all beings. If these words make no sense, trust your process and be patient. If these words are obvious, embrace your life as it is. It's all paradox. You may feel a little frustrated. It's vaguely interesting, but what do you do with that? Having expressed the more transcendent ideas of enlightenment, now we get to the nitty-gritty. You've learned the emphasis that you can place on what you can control, behavior. And I want to suggest that behavior precedes awakening. Fake it till you make it. Work from the outside in rather than trying to work from the inside out. Most inner traditions, they try to work on their inside so finally they can see the world, experience it as an enlightened being. I suggest you practice enlightenment by acting enlightened. This is a tricky area. For example, are you only pretending? Maybe you're only pretending. Isn't that fake to walk around pretending to be enlightened? Sure, you're pretending. You're pretending like a shy child who pretends to be brave and confident as he asks a girl to dance at the school dance. You're pretending like a terrified soldier who shows heroism on the battlefield. Sure, you're pretending. But you're not going around saying to people, I am enlightened. It doesn't make you enlightened any more than saying I'm a pineapple makes you a pineapple. You don't talk about it. You just ask yourself, how would an enlightened being act? You're not here to contact your higher self. You're here to become it. What would your higher self do in a certain situation? If you had mastered all the 12 gateways, how would you behave? That's how you behave. If you were Jesus, how would you behave? If you were Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, Moses, how would you behave? You begin to role model. Enlightenment is as enlightenment does. Some people would beg to differ. But how do you act enlightened? How do you act with kindness if you don't feel that way? Try acting. We're all actors, aren't we? You are an experienced actor. Life has been your training. The only thing is, you've only played one role. You've been typecast as yourself. Why not play another role? Don't you sometimes get tired of your same old role, day in, day out? So take on another role. Let's say you had an assignment from a movie studio to play the role of a police officer, male or female. What would you do to prepare for that role? Wouldn't you go study police officers? Because you're role modeling here. You're observing, you're learning about people. Then you can take on, you don't become a caricature that way. Because, you know, caricatures of enlightened beings are sort of like Kwai Chang Kane on Kung Fu. You know, they're supposed to act. Ah, grasshopper. They're supposed to move slowly and act. No, not necessarily. They can act normally, like everybody. Well, you don't want to be a caricature of an enlightened being. Everybody finds that a little obnoxious. We call it the stink of enlightenment. No, you want to be real. You want to really get into the character. So you would hang out with police officers, drive around with them in the back of the car. You'd talk with them. You'd notice what clothing they wear off duty, where they go, learn about their relationships. You'd learn everything you can to get a flavor for that so you could take it in and then really become like a police officer. Take on that experience, even though you haven't been trained in that way. Well, that's one thing. But how do you role model an enlightened being? How do you know who's enlightened? Or in what moment they're enlightened? They say in the traditions it's good to hang out with acknowledged enlightened masters, because you can learn a lot at a subconscious level through role modeling. But some of those enlightened masters turn out sometimes to be not quite as enlightened. They just have a lot of charisma and a lot of followers. So it's hard to know who's enlightened. The person sitting next to you might be and not telling you. Very difficult to know the level of somebody's practice. You know, people come to me and say, Dan, I'm really discovering spiritual life, but my spouse is way behind. You know, they tell me that. And they say, they don't read any spiritual books like I do. You know, they don't know anything about angels. And I go, well, that's because they're already way ahead. They don't need to read that all that stuff now. You never know. You never know. So how do you model an enlightened being? Well, as it happens, you already know all the qualities of enlightened beings, don't you? For example, is an enlightened being expansive or contracted? Yeah, they're expansive. Is an enlightened being, would they smile or frown more, probably? Probably. Are they tense or relatively relaxed? Sure. We could go on and on. Are they kind or cruel? We could go on and on and on. You have within you, because it's you too. You have within you the archetype, the template, the essence, the prototype of an enlightened being right now. You know exactly how to role model an enlightened being. So how do you do it? Well, let's say again, back to the movie set. You've been hired. They said, yeah, you did such a good job doing that police officer, but now we'd like you to play the role of an enlightened being. And what they're going to have you do, the first scene, you're going to walk into a room, you're going to walk through a group of people, step up to a small group, and say a few words to them. As an enlightened being, that's the first scene. So you've done your role modeling, you've checked out, enlightened being, you have a sense of it. And you're about to do the scene. They're just ready to go on. They're ready to say, roll it. You get a phone call. You go to the phone, you pick it up. It's your spouse or partner or business partner, and they're really angry. And they're just cursing you, and you have a terrible argument. You're hurting, you're angry, you're upset, it's not fair, you're frustrated. They're nuts, and they're accusing you of things you didn't do, and it's just terrible. You hang up the phone, but it's time to play an enlightened being. So you go, oh man, you step up and they go, okay, roll them. And you go, ah. And you walk across the set. You walk through the people. And you talk to the people. And you play your role beautifully. And then you walk off and they yell, cut. And you go, oh, now that phone call comes back. But in the meantime, you were able to play the role, even though you were upset at the time, even though your thoughts and your feelings were not really serene. You were not truly enlightened inside, but you could play the role. You could relax. You could breathe evenly and deeply and slowly. And you could move with elegance and speak with kindness from your heart, which you've learned. And if there were a quote-unquote true enlightened master playing the role alongside you, someone might not see too much difference. But of course, that's all shallow. That's just fake, right? Or is it? Or is it? What if nobody ever yelled cut? What if you walked off the set and they continued to film you like the Truman Show? What if they continued to film and film and they watched you go home and sit on the john and then get up and make dinner and then the kids are yelling at each other or some other thing happens and you respond to that? Does it mean you always walk through life like the Buddha, smiling and calm? No. What if the house gets set on fire? Are you going to be going, ah? I don't think so. There's a natural, realistic way to be. It's natural to run and move quickly. Right? Many of these Tibetan Buddhists I've met who are like child, they're very childlike in a positive way. Remember, you have to become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. But they're spontaneous. They'll play like children, but boy, they can get real intense. They train in the martial arts. They're all qualities. in Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland, or Through the Looking Glass, I don't remember which, the caterpillar said to Alice, "Who are you?" And Alice said, "Well, I don't know for certain, sir. I knew who I was when I got up this morning, but I must have changed several times since then." There are many yous. So if you think I'm not being true to myself acting in this way, act as you would in this way. Act normal. Maybe an enlightened being gets angry sometimes. I've seen that. Passionately angry, fully angry, without contradiction. Maybe an enlightened being is sad. Can you imagine being enlightened? I could imagine being very sad for the world, for suffering. Does it mean you have no more emotions? Now that would be a big illusion. You can have more intense emotions than you ever have before. But the main difference is you act with loving kindness. It may all come down to this. Are you relaxed? Are you breathing? Are you moving with refinement, quality, attention, and elegance? Is your life about service? Non-self-reference. Not what am I going to get out of it, but what can I give and offer? You may not feel like that all the time. Sometimes it's, yeah, but I want to be in line first because I might not get into the movie. But maybe you could say, no, I'm going to play the role of an enlightened being right now and say, please, after you. There's no formula here. I want to make that very clear. No formula at all. But when you change your behavior, you change your identity. Your roles can become your reality. You can change reality by changing roles. Acting is a transcendental art. You step into somebody else's shoes. And if you're going to do that, why not step into the shoes of an enlightened being and begin your practice? In fact, we might say that enlightened beings are those willing to behave in an enlightened way. You don't have to think enlightened, and you don't have to feel enlightened. Just behave that way. One approach to the practice of enlightenment was given to me in a conversation that I attribute to Socrates. But it was really a conversation with the Socrates who lives inside me. He once said, "Musicians practice music. Poets practice poetry. Athletes practice athletics. And peaceful warriors practice everything." What would this be like to practice everything? Are you still practicing your handwriting? Are you still practicing breathing and walking? Can you walk better than you could a week ago? We give up on a lot of things. We put them on automatic and just stay the same, and they get the same or worse. But by practicing every moment, everything you do, life becomes fascinating. If you're in the line at the post office and a little bored, you can practice walking. You can practice standing in line at the post office. What practice is consciously doing something with the intention of refining it. Refining it. Never bored. Breathing, relaxed, elegant. Everything you do. Now, do I do this all the time? Absolutely not. I forget a lot, and so will you. But when I do remember, in those moments, it's great. And it's only moments. But you know what? I've been working on this before I wrote the book for several years. And I'm starting to little by little get better at it. My wife wishes I would have just picked it up right away. It'd be so much easier to live with. But little by little, I'm learning what it means to live enlightened in the world. Little by little. I'm getting to be less of a caricature, more an ordinary, normal. But at the same time, make certain things my priority. Anyway, that's the practice. Now, if you hadn't gone through the 12 gateways, we might have taken longer, but it's very clear. In fact, you're saying, yes, I got it, Dan, I got it. Having gone through the gateways, you understand the importance, the priority of behavior and action. This is not meant to be a burden. I said this at the beginning of the seminar. You're working on all the gateways. This is a way to do it more consciously and have more fun with it. Because if you can't have some fun with it, why bother? Right? Which is more fun, stumbling in the dark with blindfold on or being able to see in color? That's what it's about. Some people come up to me after a seminar, they hear a tape program and they go, "Thanks a lot. Boy, this is really good. It was kind of hard. It was a lot of material, but it was good." You don't realize how good it is, not because of me, but because of the material, until you go back into daily life. And you start to remember little snippets, bits and pieces, and apply them. Imagine your life for a moment, 10 years from now. Are you better at something now than you were 10 years ago? I expect you are. Well, imagine 10 years from now, if you decide, when you remember, you'd like to practice whatever you're doing, breathing, relax, doing whatever you're doing with elegance. Imagine that. What would your life be like 10 years from now? Maybe you won't have transcendent enlightenment like the masters in the great traditions. But you know what? You may be able to see it from there. You may have a practical handle on an enlightened life without waiting for your feelings and thoughts to match. Be gentle with yourself. It takes time. I've certainly learned that. Be gentle above all. Alan Watts wrote a quotation that I particularly like to share, and then I have one more farewell for you as we end our time together. Alan Watts wrote, "You yourself are the eternal energy which appears as the universe. You didn't come into this world, you came out of it. Like a wave from the ocean. You didn't come into this world, you came out of it like a wave from the ocean. You are not a stranger here. In the laws of spirit, which I've described to you, a parable about a sage I meet up in the mountains, a woman sage, who teaches me 12 laws, in a sense the keys to the 12 gateways. When our time together is over, she bids me farewell. I'd like to close by sharing with you a brief excerpt from the epilogue of my book. These are my wishes and prayers for you all the days of your life. May you find grace as you surrender to life. May you find happiness as you stop seeking it. May you come to trust these laws and inherit the wisdom of the earth. May you reconnect with the heart of nature and feel the blessings of spirit. The challenges of daily life will remain, and you will tend to forget what I have shown you," she said. "But a deeper part of you will remember, and when you do, life's problems will seem no more substantial than soap bubbles. The path will open before you where before there grew only weeds of confusion. Your future and the future of all humanity is a path into the light, into a growing sense of your unity with the Creator and all creation. And what lies beyond is beyond description. Even when the sky appears at its darkest, know that the sun shines ever upon you, that love surrounds you, and that the pure light within you will guide your way home. So trust the process of your life unfolding, and know with certainty, through the peaks and valleys of your journey, that your soul rests safe and secure in the arms of spirit. So be guided as I have been guided, and know the peace of God."